Welcome to the Soccer Central Podcast.
Andy Carroll fighting for it. He's got it here. It's Andy Carroll who leads from the front. And it's a landmark goal from as well. His 50th in the Premier League on his big day with the armband for West Ham United.
Here is Zaha. Now it's Benteke. He's in. And he scored. Unbelievable. Eye-popping, show-stopping brilliance on the counter from Crystal Palace. And Christian Benteke has put them in front.
Mane, fear of Williams, on the feet. First strike, red strike. Sadio Mane, who won it at Goodison, breaks through at Anfield. All his own wonderful run.
And here's Aguero, 2-1. What a strike, what a finish. Sergio Aguero again. Groans around the Emirates. Cheers in the away corner. A scratch of the neck from Arsene Wenger.
Well, well, well. Hello and welcome back. It has been a while. It is the Soccer Central Podcast. I am James Sharman. And yes, I'm joined by both idiots today, Thomas Dobby and Brendan Dunlop. We shall not apologize for our absence. The minute they start paying for us to do this show, we'll show up more often. But the bottom line is, we can't do it every week. Should we agree with that?
Yeah.
We just can't.
We'll try. You can interchange those words.
Schedules together as well. You know, Dunlop's doing quick turnarounds and then doing Raptors and Jays, and I'm just lazy. And yeah.
It's hard enough to see these guys on a consistent basis, but consistent basis is what I'm trying to say. I don't do mornings. But I will say this, that you look different, Dobby. It's been too long.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, you've put on at least 3.5 pounds of muscle. You got the same dad shirt as Sharman does this morning.
All right.
Dad shirt.
I thought you were going to say I put on 3.5 pounds or more than that.
No,
so,
you've got a balanced day schedule. You're regularly hitting the gym, are you not?
I played soccer last night and like didn't finish till game was at 10:50. On a Sunday night, and it was just like a battle as well. Like it was one of these games, bunch of words I can't say right now. We were playing against. It was 2-2. I even scored first goal in like 3 years in any competition because I played the back, scored a nice header, but it was a battle. And then I was all wound up, so I didn't fall asleep until like at least 3:30. So I feel like you right now, like I'm just like going on.
You look better than me. I can.
Yeah, that's true.
I can feel the bag.
No, he does. He definitely looks better.
Especially in your Samoa jersey and some weird sports and hockey classic hat.
Our dad shirts, which they're not dad shirts for the record, but you're wearing a freaking 1986 Samoa jersey.
Yeah.
And the hockey classic hat. He looks like a special young man over there, actually. Very special. I'm
trying to just fly under the radar.
Some big shades.
Fly under the radar. I just want to get noticed in the street.
Is that where it is? The three of us are the only people in this building. For those who don't know, we're in the giant Rogers office tower. And we're the only three people not wearing Blue Jays t-shirts. Yeah. But I tell you, it was nice walking through the pathway here and seeing everyone all excited for baseball, debating whether Rowdy Tellez should be coming up to take over first base from Steve Pierce if he struggles or replace Justin.
But before you continue, I want to just mention this baseball preview is brought to you by John Molinaro.
Yes. 162 games.
He sent me a text this morning saying, let me know when the pod's done. Just for the love of God, please don't make it a baseball preview. So here
okay,
it is.
You know what?
The 2017 baseball preview. No, why not?
Let's talk Leafs.
All right. All right.
Now, here we're talking.
Extremely excited. You know, I think last time we spoke
we got here,
on this very podcast, we were optimistic, absolutely. We're enjoying the season. I don't think we were as confident about a playoff berth as perhaps we are now. Having said that, I think I'm a realist. I've been through it, as you have before, to be with numerous teams. We're not 100% sold on the playoffs. We think it's going to happen.
Need 5 points to guarantee it.
Yeah. Win tonight in Buffalo, which is never easy.
No.
And I might come out and saying it's going to be a bit like last year when Leicester beat Man City. And
that's
That's
the one.
Now they're for real.
Yeah.
But rather than winning a championship, it's making the playoffs. But hey.
I'm in this odd spot now with this sports, the success. It's very strange.
Even your Blades.
Sheffield United could get promoted on Wednesday. Like this is a week right now that I'm like, all right, the Jays are starting. The Leafs could make the playoffs. And Sheffield United could go up as early as Wednesday if they beat the last place team and Fleetwood lose to Oxford. I mean, we're 13 points up on third with 6 to go. Like, unless something catastrophic happens, which it very well could because Sheffield United have seen it before, They're actually going to get promoted.
But given your Amazing. Teams that you support, it might not get any better than this.
It's true.
This might be it.
This is it.
Right? We're not talking championships.
I've got one team ever that won a championship in my fandom lifetime, and that's the Colts. Mm-hmm. Because when the Jays won the World Series in 92 and 93, I didn't pay attention, like, care about baseball. And now it's right there with soccer as my favorite
How many
sport,
championships so. Have you seen in your lifetime as a fan?
Portugal just happened.
Portugal, the Rangers in 94.
You remember that team?
But that's it.
Were you a fan at that point? Like
the season the season before is when I had my head turned by the Rangers.
Okay.
So. And the Tigers made a World Series and the Avalanche.
Two World Series?
Yeah, the Avs.
Yep. The Royals.
Yeah, the Royals. Yeah, they won a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You've had talking about
the Royals aren't my team.
Alex Gordon home run on that Wednesday afternoon when you and I went, and you're standing up cheering like you just won the World Series in a July game. The Jays were 20 games under. Just and I was crushed.
Rubbing into you in the middle of the day.
I think you had a $10 bet on it. That's why.
At that point, it was probably more than that. Oh, that reminds me. We were speaking earlier. You just made mention to some word you wanted to use. You weren't sure you could use. Can we use the T word? Not Tit? Just in...
Or twat.
That one.
I think twat you can.
Because I almost said it on Central the other day, and I called
it. I wouldn't say it
there. In this country, it's a little bit different.
No, that's different.
Right, exactly.
People
that's
do definitely not
overseas,
on
this is not a big
Central.
Deal right. In UK. So but for some reason here, it's considered a lot dirtier than perhaps it's meant to be.
Podcast language versus what you're saying on Central is
in
very
British,
different.
But you know what? Because I think I lost the context of the word. Because we just throw it around
willy-nilly.
Where you don't think about the weight it has for other people. But yes, it does carry a North American
It's a shame because
negativity.
It's a wonderful word.
Fantastic word.
Yeah. Like Jose Easy Mourinho is a twat. Himself.
Didn't we used to have twat of the week?
Yeah.
A few years ago.
Oh, yeah. We did. Yeah.
And that never got onto TV? That was just...
No, it didn't.
We must have
No, we didn't put
TV.
It on TV.
Did we not? Not the
you might have used the
I'm
word.
Sure I did.
The word, I'm sure
I
you
must
used.
Have.
Yeah. No one was watching.
Covering our, you know, Serie A mornings on a Sunday. No one was watching that. So the bosses weren't, that's for sure.
Yeah. This Richard Whittle with the call is such a twat. not Richard Whittle, the writer.
Richard Whittle, friend of the show. Yeah. Richard Whittle, Serie A commentator, based in Huddersfield or somewhere.
When we had audio on
those
the games.
Were the those days. Were the
When we had audio on the games. Or you guys can just call it, you know.
Remember Richard Whittle?
Kievo's left back.
God, we would actually break down Kievo's left back. Oh, yeah. So we wouldn't.
Wow.
KJ would.
KJ would.
No, Paolo Bandini, you'd call. That was our
we'll
Tuesday
get
show.
On there, yeah, yeah. I just let Paolo and KJ go out.
On Mondays, you guys did it.
Tuesdays was Serie A. The pod.
The podcast, absolutely. Yeah, it was Tuesday.
Monday we recap.
And what did you call
recap.
The Serie A?
The show on the Tuesday Serie A?
Serie A Rewind?
No, that was
that
on
was the highlight
TV.
Show. Tuesdays.
I don't remember
you
what
called
we
it.
Call
some
it.
Serie A. What was
we
it
had
called?
A clever name
yeah,
for
Yeah, there's
Tuesdays?
A name for it. Anyways. Yeah.
I forget. I almost forgot that we did a podcast every day.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
There was the period
we
when
got paid for it
Mondays
too.
Was great because we did the recap. Yeah. And Tuesdays was the Serie A. And Wednesdays was Take Your Kick. And then Thursdays we did feedback. Feedback calls. And then Friday we didn't do anything. We didn't even go in because usually we work Sunday.
Well, yeah, that's right.
We Friday, Saturday.
Fridays off, didn't we? Yeah.
Friday, Saturday. And Thursdays I would leave at like 3. It was great.
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet schedule,
right.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Glory days.
We're actually going to be seeing each other twice a week this week, eh? We're going to, on Wednesday, we're going to be at the Gulu United. Piss up quiz night. I think there might be some spots available still. If you're not sure what this is, check it out, GuluUnited.com. Just Google it.
KJ's also got it pinned as his tweet there.
Is it? It's a quiz night.
To get in.
It's for a great cause. There shall be beers flowing.
The podcast was called The Score's Sentimentale.
Oh,
Sentimentale.
Yeah.
Remember?
The you Sentimentale.
Know, I just looked it up.
What does that word mean, though?
Sentimentale. That's
Sentimentale.
Right.
I do remember that.
I do, barely.
What
year was that? What year is what? We had the Serie A from 2010 to 13, right?
I think it was like 11
or 12.
To 13.
It was 2 years, wasn't it? Yeah.
11 to 13 or something.
We lost
like
the
that.
Premier League rights
yeah.
to Sportsnet. And then I think we had a year off, and then we got the Serie A rights.
No year off.
So Sentimentale means weekly. So it means weekly. So
was straight into it? Was it? Yeah.
Is your Serie A weekly?
You know it was? Because remember during World Cup 2010, World Cup tonight, we started promoting. Guess what? Coming up this season, we had the Serie A.
And it worked well because when Cesena and Juve would play on a Saturday at 2:45, we had 500,000 people watching.
I was regaling actually this weekend with Danny and Craig how there was that one Saturday and there were, I think, 5 nil-nils out of 6 games. 5. And out of our 3 games that weekend, we had 3 nil-nils.
And was that not opening weekend or the second weekend, I believe?
It was pretty early on, I think it was, yeah. We had a bad run of it for a
while. We had the score curse, though. Even with the Premier League, we had a bunch of nil-nils. It was just a score curse. It's crap games all the
time. Sunday, 11 o'clock.
Nil-nils.
Yeah. Still.
Ain't.
Could be worse.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
We could be, could be worse. We could be David Moyes.
We could be David Moyes. You want to start with that? As you've just jumped the gun here?
Oddly, start with Sunderland. Why not?
Sorry, I'm not the producer anymore.
Fear not, Black Cats fans. He hasn't been fired yet. Well, I'm not sure that'd
be fear then, yeah.
Nor has he resigned.
Wendell,
which is what
following,
everyone expected.
Following the match, the loss to Watford, he was obviously doing his post-game media responsibilities. Cameras turned off, or so he thought. There were some camera phones out there. And he took offense to one of the reporters' line of questioning, a female reporter. And essentially she was just saying, you know, did you feel you were under added pressure with the owners in attendance? That was kind of it. He just said to her, listen, he alluded to the fact that he thought she was out of line with the way the questions were going, and he'd still give her a slap even though she's a woman. And of course, oh, you can't say that. He's being hammered down. There's no doubt it was a stupid thing to say. But I just want to put one thing out there. The term slap, right? He wasn't actually suggesting he'd violently, physically assault her. I think slap was more of a verbal attack.
Yeah.
Now, he is woman. It's stupid. I understand that. But I think this might be getting a little bit out of hand and lost in context.
Yeah. I mean, I can see why he's getting the flack he is. I mean, that's, you know, not a comment you say. And the fact that, well, off and didn't think he was on mic, whatever. It's still pretty disconcerting to see that. I see where you're coming from, Sharms, but
it's a term slap, right? People are taking offense.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I mean, he shouldn't be
differentiating
between a man or a woman, regardless, right? These are football reporters.
If he had stopped it, you still might get a slap.
Yes, fine.
It almost would be better than, even though you're, I mean, hey, I think it's a stupid thing, but, you know, is it something that we need to, there has to be any further discipline or anything like that? No, I think
I mean, he said, not to condone what he said, but I have got a little bit of pity for David Moyes in what's happened this year, this season.
Bad situation.
Yeah, it really is. Sorry, B.
No, it's okay.
No. It's just your chair's very low.
Right.
And you're sitting down. You're way below us, both of us. And you've got the hat on. And you've got this shirt. You look like a little boy right now. You really do.
Clean shaven. Yeah.
Gray hair.
You know, it's because I'm now accepting the fact that I'm old as I prepare for our tournament on Sunday. And I realize that my body's even worse than it was when I ran like a 400-pound man 6 years ago. Now
you
I run like a 500-pound man.
You play every week?
Yeah, but I haven't for 6 weeks, 7 weeks because of
your
my broken toe.
How is it? Are you going to be back in time for Sunday?
I went, I think so. I went kicking the ball around with the dog the other day, and it's great training. If you can nutmeg a German Shepherd, honestly, I think you can do it in a charity tournament.
The dog skinned you, though, still, I'm sure.
Oh, God. He's if we were playing a real match, I'd have no chance.
Yeah.
Gets to every ball before I do.
Yeah, I would hope so, really. They got four legs. You've barely got two.
I do barely have two legs.
So is this Premier League race back on? Is it? Given that Chelsea lose to Palace.
I'd like to think so, but
it's not, is it?
It's not.
Really.
I mean, if Man City had been able to beat Arsenal yesterday, I could have thought, well, at least then there's two in the chasing pack that you could think of. And with Chelsea playing Man City on Wednesday, I mean, obviously the league needs Man City to win that game to have a race.
Because they're not going to win it because City just aren't that good.
No, and away from home.
I saw that yesterday. Yeah.
And it's not like Chelsea were poor in that match against Palace. It's not like Chelsea went out there and laid an egg and you thought, oh, is there a crack here? I mean, they were utterly dominant in that game. I mean, down 2-1 and then it's insane how Palace were able to keep them out the rest of the 80 minutes.
Well, it was barrage after barrage.
Sacco.
Greatest center back in
I actually thought his performance was a little bit overrated. I didn't think he was good. I thought,
but when he looked that cool, I think your performances are elevated.
Yeah.
In media, right? If it's just like, if you look like John Stones.
Yeah.
It was okay, but he looks really kind of cool and funky.
I thought he was all right, but I also thought that they gave up absolute ton of chances. They set up shop and Chelsea ultimately, you know, weren't able to could get that final to get the goal. But I mean, the chances they created and the pressure they piled on them, I mean, it was unbelievable. They didn't score. So that makes me think that Chelsea would be just fine. They'll go out and beat Man City on Wednesday and it's all but done again. You know, Tottenham keeping on the pressure with their wins, but it is amazing that Spurs keep losing players and keep doing this, right? I mean, yes, it was only Burnley, but with Kane out, and it's just somebody different every week. Wanyama got injured in that match. Harry Winks got injured in that game. I mean, this team just
off both players as well.
They continue to just surprise me with the way they're able to just shake these things off and keep going. They're clearly the second best team in the league.
They are, and they've grown from last year. Last year, they were obviously a surprise package in many regards. And we knew they were young and they're going to get better. And they're showing that this year. They're getting that guile, as it were. Mm. They can grind out
love
results. Because Burnley at Turf Moor, man, they're a tough team to play. 29 points out of the 32 have come at Turf Moor. You know, I don't care if it's Burnley or who it is. That's a very, very good record. Mm.
It's because they hear Sean Dyche's pre-match thoughts and they get all intimidated.
He is underrated, isn't he? Sean Dyche, what
as
he's done with that club.
Or as a manager?
Both. I mean, what he's done for that club, you know, over the years, he's been there. He's the longest tenure manager outside of Arsene Wenger.
Mm.
He's gotten through promotion.
Yeah.
He's brought them down. He's down, back
came
up
back up. I am worried about them, though. I know so? We'll get into the relegation race a little bit later on, but I do worry about them, and especially with Hull's result and able to do that. I mean, it's going to take, for the first time in a while, it's going to take close to 40 points to stay up this year. And that hasn't happened in a long time. And pretty much all the way up to, for me, I think up to even 11th with Bournemouth at 34 points. Not that I think they're...
I know Hull's on a bit of a roll right now. I mean, yeah. Forget, Borough's going down, yeah?
Yeah.
And Sunderland
yeah.
are going down.
Yeah.
So it's that last spot.
Yeah,
everyone's fighting for.
Middlesbrough's not going to score enough goals to... to get two
is
wins,
a more
no
dull
less.
Team, I don't know. But looking at Burnley's schedule coming up, they're at home to Stoke
yeah.
coming up tomorrow.
That's a big one. That's the on thing the is, though, too, this week, Hull, Hull's home to Middlesbrough this week, midweek. That's if Hull win that match and they're at 30, all of a sudden, I mean, Swansea plays Spurs, so if they lose, but all of a sudden you're looking at, you know, Hull could be in 17th at 30 points and there's still seven games to go. I mean, it hasn't taken that 40-point plateau in a long time, and that always was that magic number. But this year it might actually take 38, 39 points. So those teams that are sitting on 33 and you thought were comfortable, and Burnley at 32, that's
but Burnley
not
hosting
the case.
Stoke, like I mentioned. Yeah. And then they're at Borough, right? A huge game this weekend.
0-0.
Probably. Everton, tough. Then United, that's tough. But then you got Palace, at Palace. And Palace obviously are a team reborn after all under Sam Allardyce. West Brom, Bournemouth and West Ham to close the season, and they host West Ham. So I think there's enough points in there.
Yep, there should be.
Points that they probably should get to stave off relegation. I hope so. There are some teams in this league I wouldn't care about going down, and obviously Burnley's a very small club with not much history at this level, but they bring something to the table. I don't know what it is. I enjoy Burnley. Maybe it's Sam, Sean Dyche. Maybe that's what it is.
Easy to cheer for. I mean, club that does it right. You know, there's no flashiness to it. It's just a good old-fashioned English football club, really. Yeah.
They're like the Ireland of the Premier League. Every tournament is better with them there.
I wouldn't go that far. I'm not sure how the Burnley fans are, because the Irish fans bring so much color to the tournaments.
Right.
More so, perhaps, than the team itself.
Yeah.
But and I'm not dismissing the Burnley faithful. I'm sure they're wonderful. Small in number. But more than anything, I love hearing Danny and Craig talk about their various trips to Burnley.
Danny especially.
Careers. Yeah. They have nothing to nice to say about that town.
Turf Moor. Yeah.
Basically, think of the
piss
worst.
And rain half the time.
Yeah. Think of the worst place on earth that you've either been to or seen a movie about or some horrible Vice documentary. That's the way Deej describes Burnley.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Big week for them.
Most place on the earth, Burnley.
Deepest, darkest Burnley.
Speaking of horrible places, did you guys see the freeway that caught on fire in Atlanta, by the way?
No.
No.
This video is amazing. Literally the highway caught on fire and burnt down.
How? It's made of wood?
There was apparently there was some wiring or some garbage underneath the highway. And it was like, you know, an elevated highway that caught on fire. And it's in the middle of rush hour as this fire starts. So the backup for miles, everyone's just stuck watching this highway burn down.
Wow.
The video is unbelievable.
Any deaths?
No, thankfully there was no
deaths.
There was
apart
no deaths
from people who may have been under the highway, which is quite possible.
We just haven't found them, I guess. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Didn't see that.
No,
but I will look it up now. It
just,
for sure.
I bet you that doesn't happen in Burnley. So I'm just saying. I think that
there's many motorways in and out of Burnley, are there? They're like just like country roads.
Be raining too much, the fire would just
right.
go
of course,
fine.
True, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
it's raining.
Back to the race at the top. So Chelsea 7 points up on Spurs. Liverpool's in third place, City in fourth, United in 53, five back of City. Arsenal now are seven back of fourth, but more importantly, they have two games in hand on Liverpool, and they are now, 8 points back of Liverpool. So given how they performed yesterday, and we haven't had a chance to talk about Arsene Wenger for a while, they're in, regardless of their performance yesterday, which was better, they showed some fight, most of them, not all of the players, mind you, most of the players, a better performance after 2 weeks off, but there's still obviously a huge issue there. A lot of our listeners are Arsenal fans. The faithful are turning more and more on Arsene Wenger. What do you think the holdup is with his contract or his decision? He says he knows what he's doing, right? He keeps telling us, I know what my future is, but nothing's finalized. I smell a bit of a rat here. Do you think ownership, who Sam Kroenke, who has shown no leadership right now, at least as far as fans are concerned, is having second thoughts about Arsene Wenger? Is that why he hasn't announced a new deal?
I think the club as a whole don't know what to do, and I think that they feel as though it should be his decision. I don't think that they want the heat of making the decision themselves. And also, too, I think that it's a really tricky point for the two of them right now to think about next year, because you got to finish through this. And at what point, you know, is it a complete detriment to this season if Wenger's made up his mind he's going to China or he's taking a year off or whatever it is? It's there's no benefit to that coming out at the moment.
But isn't it better than having this uncertainty? The fan base just want to know something. Let us know what's happening with our club.
I get your point, punters, but I'm also, you know, and you say, well, how is it going to impact this season? I mean, this season has been impacted. I mean, it can't get much worse than it's been.
But I don't see a benefit if it comes out that he's actually leaving. I don't see all of a sudden
why would the players fight for him, that kind of thing. But
yeah, maybe if the players know that he's coming back next year and they say, okay, we better play for this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure they have the character to do that. They haven't shown it so far. Gary Neville talking about Ozil yesterday, saying, you know, your manager's on the brink. He wants everything, and you're pulling out a 50-50s. This is not good enough.
He was getting bashed on the... I wish I would have noted who the color commentator was as well. I wasn't paying enough attention early on, but...
It was Jim Beglin, wasn't it? It was Drury and Beglin yesterday.
Was it? Yeah, so he just...
I think, wasn't it?
I mean, tore him a new one where he basically, you know, they're talking about his feet and this and that. I say, oh, yeah, he's got great feet, but he's... Not much heart, basically. You know, and for a commentator to say that so openly about a player, it just really, you know, that.
But there's talk about Ozil being offered a deal worth more than $250 a week, same as Sanchez. You know, there's rumblings within, you know, the club that Wenger is going to come back, and they want to announce Sanchez, Ozil, and Wenger on the same day. Maybe that's the delay. If you're a fan of this team, Sanchez aside, you want Sanchez back. You know, I know his quotes last week in the Chilean media were very telling, saying that he wants to end his contract. He wants to stay in London, but with a team that has a winning mentality, which was basically saying, Chelsea!
Or West Ham.
Maybe Charlton, but more likely Chelsea, come and get me. And if Arsenal are losing players to Chelsea, that is a huge turning point, I think, for this club. And at that point, something has to change.
I did notice Sanchez had quite the embrace and exchange with Pep Guardiola after the game.
Now they know each other from Barcelona.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand.
But let's read too much into it, shall we?
No, it always is. And obviously with the laughing on the bench against Bayern and stuff, I mean, Sanchez's future is a massive thing. But at this point, it's like, if you're an Arsenal fan, I would say that 95% of them would probably, if they had to pick one or the other, would take Sanchez coming back over Wenger. Maybe more than 95%. So
it's a good question, actually.
Of the three, the Gooners want Sanchez. Carries way more potential goodness, doesn't he?
I think so. I think we've all agreed for a while now that Wenger, for all he's achieved in the past, it's time to move on.
Mm.
That's not an argument, right? But Sanchez, still in these depths of despair for Arsenal, I think Sanchez is still putting in performances and still fighting most games.
Unlike Ozil. Most games.
Right.
Even though there was a great bit of German engineering to get that goal.
So from the corner?
Mustafi, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got plenty of assists, smooth. He's a brilliant player.
There's a great number of, there was a stat about all the goals that Ozil's created. And if you just were to look at that stat alone, you think, okay, he's still putting in, he's worth $250 a week. But if you watch the matches, I don't think so.
He's just not a player that's really suited for the Premier League, where you need to have a bit of fight. you know, in the Serie A or in the, well, La Liga especially with Real Madrid, he can look wonderful. But he can't be the man, can he? I don't think. He's one of those players, he's oozing class, but he can't be the man you look to lead a team, to throw him on his shoulders. He's a great complimentary piece.
He'd be great at Juventus. So if they can just orchestrate.
Probably, yeah.
And he's also, the Wayne, they have there,
look, he's also great in a winning team when it's going well. And when you put him in the German national team and they're flying, or when Arsenal's doing well, it's yes. But when, you know, you're looking for guys to be stand up and be counted when they're struggling and when they need those leaders, you know, he disappears. And that's why this season has been so trying for guys like him and for the club as a whole, because they are lacking those. And, you know, I think they have very, very few of them. I think Laurent Koscielny could put in that mix, but he's got hurt so often in big games this year and left in the at halftime, came off this time. It's happened a lot. I mean, for me, he's one of those guys, but there's a lot of just guys you worry about.
He scores the goal. Apart from that, he's absent.
Yeah.
And he gets subbed off. He looks so miffed, head hung low, didn't shake his manager's hand. He just didn't look good. And I don't think Walcott's of the quality to be playing for Arsenal, a good Arsenal. I just don't, you know, and he's a decent player, don't get me wrong, but is he world class? He's not even close. And at this point, we can say he's a veteran. He's not going to get better than Walcott, is he?
No.
He's just not of that quality. And I was surprised by his behavior being subbed off yesterday.
Yeah. It'll be an interesting stay goalie for Arsenal at the end of the season. We'll have to do it.
But he gets.
Oh, that's a very good one, yeah.
He gets up for City. 5 goals and 5 Premier League matches against
true,
it.
Isn't it. Yeah, well, fair
but
enough.
This was his first Premier League goal since what they were there in December at the Etihad. That's
but
crazy.
But it's tough to criticize a guy that scores a goal. But if you watched the full game yesterday, yeah, he scored the goal. But apart from that, he did
what
nothing.
Was there, yeah.
Oh, I agree. But if you're talking about Arsenal as a team who pays players $250,000 a week, then by no means can you put Walcott in that side. However, you can't go from a team who paid players, only a handful of players, $100,000 a week at all, to now a team who's going to pay players $250,000. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, if you give Ozil and Sanchez that pay rise, you have to give it to the guys around them. Walcott's not worth $180,000.
I mean, Sanchez
absolutely
has
not.
It, but
Walcott hasn't. But you think about that gap that you have in the team. It was the same problem with City at the beginning when they were writing £250,000 a week checks for Yaya Toure and for Carlos Tevez, and then Nigel Bone-Breaking De Jong is on $80,000 a week. Company's on $70,000 a week. These guys who'd been there before, Zavaleta's making $50,000. You couldn't win because you got such a discrepancy within your own team.
Yeah, that's why the pay structure is so important, right? It's all very well paying.
And if Arsenal are going to change the pay structure to compete with the teams they're trying to compete with, which they've fallen behind and have completely missed the boat on that pay rise system, it's going to be a real transition period.
But you need top four football for that as well,
which
is why it's
attracting players.
And
it's going to be difficult this offseason.
I don't see them.
I don't either.
Reaching.
And I think that even now. I think that kind of will cement what they should do and what should happen. And, you know, if it ultimately is Wenger's decision, which I think he has earned, but I think if he doesn't make the right one and you know, says, well, I'm coming back, I think the ownership group has every right to say, well, that's nice, but no, you're not. Because if you're not playing top four and you need to attract new players and you need to sell a new culture and a new vision, I mean, don't be silly and think that people in the football world and other players and the whole, you know, landscape of it doesn't see what's going on at these teams and doesn't see that this is a mess and doesn't realize that Arsenal right now are in a really bad spot and see the fan protests and that it's going. Why would you want to put yourself in that situation if you're a player trying to make your name? You don't want to be involved in that. I mean, they've been embarrassed on the stage in the Champions League against Bayern. You know, there's players calling each other out. They completely collapse. Why would you ever, if you're a player that's in high demand, want to go there? And under Wenger especially. If they have a new manager with a new vision, and then
in that case, for sure,
it's completely different. It's a completely different
London's
recruiting
still a
process.
Draw, though. London's a big draw, right?
Sure.
And but it's a big club. I think it's still a draw, Arsenal, but I think you're right. I was saying yesterday how Pep attracts players. Players want to play for Pep, and they'll join City because Pep's there. The same way that they used to join Arsenal because of Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
He hasn't got that anymore.
No, he doesn't.
Clearly.
No.
I mean, look at the players who he's tried to get in recent years who haven't gone there.
And failed.
There's been some big-name players who didn't go there, and, wow, I think that's a real indictment.
Yeah.
The badge will still pull players, but it's a different tier of players, much like the pay structure tier that will pull players as well. There are still guys that we can argue wouldn't deserve $100,000 a week that Arsenal will get next year having not qualified for the Champions League and still field them on, you know, $100,000, and we don't think they're worth it.
Well, you know what? I mean, talk about how they haven't spent money. Only Jose Mourinho spent more money in the last 10 years in the Premier League, right, than Arsene Wenger. But Arsene Wenger's been there for all 10 years. The other guys, including Mourinho, haven't been there for 10 years. They've been out of the game, you know, be it Pellegrini, be it Mark Hughes is like the fifth highest spending manager in the Premier League the last 10 years.
Really?
Well, surprising.
But if Newcastle had stayed up, I think Newcastle would be the top,
I
right?
don't know. With
Mike Ashley wrote a lot of checks. Recently,
he sold a
yeah,
lot too, though,
the,
right?
The, we did a podcast at the start of the year, or was it in January? Maybe it must have been in January, after the January window, that Newcastle had spent more money than anyone over the last 18 months or whatever it was.
Well, they'll be right back up. They're 10 clear with... The chasing pack has 8 games to go, and they have 7. So we did get some tweets about the championship. We also got a bunch about Arsenal.
I want to say a quick, Kelly Marr has been very sarcastic on
yes,
Twitter.
She has been.
And, you know, we don't appreciate sarcasm on this podcast, as you know. she predicts how the puck will go today. She says,
great, perfect.
Dunlap will be late.
Yeah,
check. There'll be discussion about preseason baseball and NHL. Check. You'll love Arsenal.
Not quite yet, but check.
We're getting there. We will. She could write the script. You could, Service. Kelly. You could write. You did write the script,
which is funny because we don't even write a show rundown.
No.
And it went in that order. Dunlop was late.
The show with David Moyes today.
Yeah, hang on. Dunlop was late. Then we did baseball. Then we did, like, it's in this order.
In that order, she's bang on.
What's next, Kelly? Please tell us. Please.
There won't be any more podcasts.
She has a couple other tweets of things we could talk about. So
okay,
we want to follow her.
Serious
rundown.
Question for Dunlop. Pochettino, who I love despite being an Arsenal fan. You can't love Pochettino, Kelly. I'm sorry. He wore a tracksuit this weekend. What would his mother say? It's a very good point because he is maybe the best dressed manager. Don't you think? I mean, Pep's up there.
You mean when he wears his skinny Spanish Argentine ties
right.
and suits? However, remember he was a tracksuit man. It's only because he's had European nights and mom calls him up and says, you look like a slob, that he's elevated himself to shopping at Jack Victor or God Style.
So back
or
at Burnley, he goes in the tracksuit.
So
he figured it was going to rain at Burnley.
Figured
he was like, I'll go in the tracksuit.
And he wanted to fly under the radar. So,
you see, Koeman and Klopp were in tracksuits at the derby. And Koeman's often a suit man.
Yeah, right.
Klopp, not so much.
So catering to his opposition?
Must be. Didn't work out so well, did it?
Well,
what a typically vicious
derby
that was.
Yeah. Was
it not? There's
Started
some bad
early.
Challenges. Ross Barkley on Dejan Lovren. That was a leg breaker if ever there was one. And he's very fortunate to stay on the field.
Barkley had a few, actually. He was he should have been off. He was the one that was the most in the mix for those tackles, for sure.
You say typically vicious, but hasn't there been a period where those matches weren't nearly as competitive and angry as we would expect?
No, I think they have been on the field. They have been. Off the field.
It's rivalries.
It's got pointed, a bit more pointed in recent years again. But I mean, it's called the friendly derby, right?
But
for
I think
a reason.
It's reflected on the pitch, the fact that Everton see themselves as a team very much within reach of Liverpool.
They did before that game anyway.
before.
That is the benchmark. That is the benchmark for them, right? They want to be, for them, a successful season would be being above Liverpool because that would probably mean that you're
Spurs and Arsenal, right?
Exactly.
For the first time this year, Spurs haven't done it. Arsenal.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Well, they will.
It seems like it, but we've thought that before.
Still, back to the year that the derby, Liverpool were actually very good, dominant in that game. Philippe Coutinho was back to his best.
Tremendous.
Still not quite sure what to make of Coutinho. At his best, he's incredible. Mm-hmm. He's one of the best players in the league, but he'll be great for a month, and he'll sit down for a month. Yeah, I wonder.
He's your Ozil?
Nah,
he's got more edge than Ozil, I think.
More edge.
I know you're saying more edge, yeah.
Bit of injury trouble, but I think when he's fully healthy and when he's in his top form, I think he's a top 5 player in the Premier League. I think he's right on that cusp.
You know what's funny? I feel like for whatever reason, the Premier League has kind of missed the boat on the sports science, or I shouldn't say missed the boat, but it seems as though they haven't mastered the sports science like other places and certainly other leagues, because you look at how injury prone someone like Coutinho is and how injury prone it seems though everyone who trains under Klopp has been. You look at the travel that a lot of these players do. I wonder if you're going to get to a point where a player like Coutinho retires from international football a lot earlier, right? Because once they see how prone their bodies are to these, because it literally is down to a science. You can throw a statistical number, how likely you are to get injured if you continue to behave this way.
Yeah.
And I feel as though players like that are at such higher risk, it seems like, in this system.
Yeah, well, the travel is, for a player like Coutinho, is a big deal, obviously.
Yeah.
I can't
imagine him saying no to Brazil.
Yeah, that's the thing. Brazil is different, right? I mean, some countries for sure, and I'm sure clubs will encourage their players to retire earlier as well. But if you're Coutinho,
and Man United and Ferguson back in the day, right? Yeah, all the England players. I mean, that was a big issue for England for a long time with the players there under Fergie and choosing Man United over England, right? But it's with South American teams. I mean, and with South American players, it's way few and far between for that.
Yeah, I mean, but it might be smart. You're right. Again, if you're playing for a crappy international team, then why would you travel to CONCACAF, for example? You know, 18 times a year or whatever the hell it is, it feels that way sometimes.
The CONCACAF games to this past week, like watching the difference between the States when they were in San Jose and watching them go to Panama, it still is shocking to me that this confederation has the gap in which it is the way that it is.
Like, yeah.
You could take one of the top European teams and put them in CONCACAF and they would struggle.
I really do think the style of football and the officiating.
It's all the elements. Yeah. All the elements. Yeah.
The bags of urine.
The field, the stadiums, like the continual hotel issues that all these teams have.
Well, hopefully Octavio Zambrano will be able to turn that around with Canada.
It's okay. 2026, six CONCACAF teams going to qualify.
Hey, maybe,
it'll no longer be getting to the hex. They're going to have, 10 to 12 in the final?
Not to mention Canada maybe hosting the tournament.
Yeah, but knowing Canada's luck, they won't give an automatic berth to the
There's a lot of speculation.
There's going to be maybe a playoff tournament for the last game that they go in there. Anyways.
It won't be the hex. It'll be the DES. Will that be the DES?
Yeah, it'll be something. Decima.
Can't wait for that.
Liverpool injuries, by the way.
48 teams.
Yeah. God.
God.
Henderson and Lallana are in the U.S. for treatment on injuries. And any update on Mane?
No, nothing yet. It looked awful.
It looked awful. Didn't it?
There's been some bad injuries the last week or so. Starting with Seamus Coleman, that horrible leg break for Ireland. Just dreadful. Leicester, they won again.
Yeah.
Man, last time we were talking on this show, they were, Ranieri was still manager, wasn't he? Or close to it anyway.
Close to.
And they've won four straight, five overall. Man, I'd be just furious if I'm Ranieri and the fan base thinking, you still have this within you.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
The fight's back. You know, I know they're playing more of their typical style and maybe Ranieri.
Chelsea all over again.
Just took the words out of my mouth.
Win the title and then quit on the manager. It's unbelievable how that can happen. The thing for me is how it can happen as a collective, right? I mean, it's like, it can't just be one or two players. And it's like, it's not like they go in and say, okay, we're going to play like crap. It's just how it happens. Like mentally, they all just kind of fold together and to be able to come back like this. I mean, it's obviously for the club, they wanted this to happen and the rebound and get out of relegation trouble. And they're still alive in the Champions League, shockingly, for now until they play Dunlop's Atletico Madrid and Simao. But,
Simao's playing in China.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing how, this turnaround can happen so quickly.
There's no better word, I think, to describe what it should feel like for these players than embarrassment. Yeah, how you can come together, you're right, just to turn the switch off and then somehow turn the switch on.
Yeah.
For a guy who's been there the whole time anyway.
Yeah.
It's not as though Shakespeare came in with any new life or something.
I wonder what kind of things were going on behind the scenes, with him and Shakespeare, and if he was having conversations and all along was trying to undermine Ranieri. I'd like to think not, but it's possible.
It is possible. I think especially, too, if you see the situation deteriorate the way that it did. And there's such a different relationship between those coaches that run the sessions and the managers who draw up the 11 and get all the praise and all of our criticism on the podcast. But if you're Gareth Southgate, are you a little concerned right now? I mean, Shakespeare's the first ever British manager to win his first four Premier League matches. Shakespeare for England.
Well, that might happen.
Come on,
every
papers need something.
Every time any English manager wins a few matches in a row, that becomes that. But Leicester against Atletico Madrid, Champions League quarterfinals. Next week already.
That's awesome, isn't it?
Next week already.
The idea that they're in this position is still absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
But it almost, you can almost forget, obviously we're not speaking as Leicester fans, but how frustrating the season has been for them as a whole. You completely forget it to just enjoy the moment. Like, who didn't enjoy the ties against Sevilla?
Yeah. Particularly, and honestly, I mean, speaking not really from the experience of having the choice, but for Leicester, I mean, if they had had a ho-hum season and never really been in trouble and finished ninth, is that really much different from being in trouble and then they're ending up finishing 11th or 12th where they're going to finish? And I don't think it's going to, you're not going to remember it that much. I mean, yes, it's been a poor season, but, you know, avoiding that relegation scrap, which it looks like they've now done with those four wins in a row and the Champions League high, I still think that they're on cloud nine.
If Vardy continues like this, honestly, I think they got a chance against Atletico, but I always
I think that, that's a really bad draw. I think that was a really bad draw for them. Yeah.
The worst one for them.
I almost tend to agree.
What does Atletico do? They do what Leicester do.
Right. Atletico's not going to
go at them,
disrespect them either. You know what I mean? Like, Atletico's going to grind them down. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the worst matchup.
I feel like it was a really bad draw for Leicester, yeah.
So no chance then. Okay.
No chance.
I thought that against Sevilla, to be honest, too.
Especially with Samuel playing for them in the midfield.
Let me Google the strings. Him, I bet he's in India.
He's going to be in
him and Climax
Lawrence. Be in China, but probably India's a good chance. The Emirates.
We've made a lot of
Samuel
inside
Sambrosa,
jokes.
Wasn't it?
Samuel Sambrosa, yeah. Can we just, because we've made so many inside jokes today. Climax Lawrence, one of the best names in football. We used to joke about him on the old podcast. And then our friend Rohan Ricketts goes to play in India, a land of a billion people, signs up for this team, Dempo United. And who's his teammate? Our mate, Climax Lawrence. What are the odds of that?
I could just imagine Ricky and Climax just tearing it up on a Saturday night over there. Can't you?
Yeah.
My God.
Look out, Delhi.
Oh, Delhi.
Simão Zambrosa last played for Northeast United, which is a team that plays in somewhere in India.
Northeast
really?
United.
In India?
It's India, yeah.
Really?
Sounds Indian, in fairness.
That's where Samuel played. Okay.
All right. Let's rip through some tweets, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay, here's one for you, Dobbs. Can you discuss your thoughts on who you'd like to see promoted from the championship? That's at John Homer.
Villa.
Who I'd like to be promoted?
I mean, Newcastle and Brighton look as if they're going to be the ones.
It looks like that's what's happening. I
the
mean,
automatic spots, right?
Newcastle has 81 points, 7 to play. Brighton have 80 points, 7 to play. Huddersfield have a game in hand on 71, so they've got 9 points to make up. So they're the only team that you could see possibly doing it with that game in hand, but it's pretty stunning how far and above the top two have been this year. I mean, the goal difference is Newcastle plus 39, Brighton plus 31, Huddersfield in third, Reading in fourth, plus 3 only. So, I mean, those two look a lock, and Brighton, it's been, you know, they've been close on many occasions, but this will be their first Premier League foray, so good for them.
That is amazing, isn't it? Just plus 3 goal differentials for teams in third,
and fourth.
That's unbelievable.
It really is. I mean, they've obviously lost some heavy ones and won most of their games by a goal. So, I mean, the dogfight for the playoffs is really interesting. Huddersfield, Reading, Leeds, Fulham right now, third through six. Sheffield Wednesday just dropped out this weekend after
they did.
A late 1-1 draw at Barnsley. And
I would love to see Leeds get back up there.
Leeds would be a great story.
Terrible, terrible few
Leeds
years
Leeds would
for
be
them.
A great story. Fulham are a very exciting team right now. They've got a lot of good young players that would be really interesting to see how they could do if they got back up. So
I would like to see, answering the question, I want to see Newcastle. I'm happy to see Brighton get a chance, but I want to see Newcastle. I'd like to see Villa and Leeds, just because they're real legitimate big clubs.
Yeah.
And they scream. It's nice to have the Brightons and the Burnleys, you know, every now and again. It's nice, don't get me wrong. But these teams are legit, and these clubs, I should say, are legit and should be there. It's amazing looking at the drop zone right now. Blackburn and Wigan both in it.
Yeah,
it's
Wigan crazy. Are going
it shows
down.
Shows how dangerous it is to relegate yourself from the Premier League and what can happen if you're mismanaged.
And Villa too. I mean, having started the year with 11 points from 11 matches, or
whatever
they
looked in trouble for a while. Their run has come a bit too late. They're not quite going to get into the mix for the playoffs, but
they shot themselves in the foot.
See, Brendan Rodgers, Celtic won this year, this weekend.
You're kidding. They won?
I know. It's stunning.
Oh.
Yeah. Rodgers said
10 games to go.
That, you know, he thinks if they got in the Premier League, there'd be a top six club. You know, and that was kind of the headline.
He has to say that.
But it's true in that.
You think so?
Not this team. The team, there's no chance. The team, I think, would probably struggle in the league championship. But the club itself, get them in the Premier League, and with that fan base, and you know, being essentially Scotland's team until Rangers follow them, mm-hmm. there's a lot of potential, is what I'm saying, for that club to grow and be one of the biggest clubs, certainly in the Premier League. So that's what you're saying, but he got ripped for it.
Yeah,
obviously. Of course. But I know what he's saying. Other questions? Let's see here. Willie and Jameson, notwithstanding the status of Wenger, who do you guys see as an ideal fit for Arsenal manager? Which approves the Japanese league. It worked well for them last time.
What was his club there? Grampus 8.
Grampus 8.
Who's Grampus 8 manager right now? That's the next manager.
It's a great question because what, I mean, you can rip Wenger you like, but he's built that club in his image. They have a club philosophy. They play football the right way. I don't want to see a manager come in and change things around and become this defensive first team, you know, that are going to grind out results.
They're
right?
Not Mourinho.
Not Mourinho. Simeone, you know, like, listen, love Simeone, but not a fit at Arsenal.
Yeah. You don't think so? I feel like
maybe he'd be a good fit, but I like the philosophy that Wenger's put in place. I just love it, and I respect it.
Yeah,
I
also think you need a big name and somebody that has their own, I don't like to say brand for a manager because I think that, you know, it's so much to do with your players and your club, but I mean somebody like a Klopp or a Guardiola where
with an identity.
An identity and you can sell their vision to the players. And I think that that's maybe where Arsenal's biggest downfall has been, the fact that they're now behind the eight ball with the fact that City have that, Liverpool have that, Chelsea have that with Conte. And for much as we, you know, chide a Mourinho style play, you can't knock the results.
Don't try to style a play because he'll tear you
apart.
He'll
tear you apart. That was pretty interesting. Yeah. You think so?
Yeah. Well, did you watch the same game as me?
He wasn't happy with the pregame apparently either. I guess the guy had asked him a stupid question.
Well, the reporter basically says, you know, were you kind of, you and Pulis were smiling post-match. Did you cancel each other out? And he goes, look at the stats basically and tore this poor guy apart. But the reality is, Jose Mourinho, you have some form, real form. And for him to say, you know, we went for it and won team, and obviously you did, and you probably should have won the game. But man, look at your history.
Yeah, he was pissed.
He's going rare. Yeah, I don't think that he's enjoyed the transition as much as
I think he's enjoying it more now, actually, than earlier in the season. I think he's kind of found his mojo more.
Still on an incredible unbeaten run.
19. United.
Yeah, very impressive, but still not into the top four. But next Arsenal manager, the odds, the favorite.
Thomas Tuchel?
Max Allegri is the favorite.
Yeah,
still is he?
Betting books right now around 3-1, and then Tuchel second.
Allegri keeps making veiled comments in the Italian press, which is why. And he hasn't signed a new.
Well, he said before he wants to one day coach in England.
Uh-huh.
And if Arsenal come knocking on your door, and if there is a war chest available to you, it's tough to say no to Arsenal. I think still.
I may be wrong, but I think Max Allegri's agent is Mino Raiola.
Isn't that the case for most managers?
But if Arsenal...
most people in football these days?
I feel as though, like, Wenger would never deal with that agent, but I feel like Arsenal as a club, if they're going to go in a new direction, they'd be happy to do so.
Yes. Yeah, Wenger, you can't shut the door to rail the clients. You just can't.
Yeah.
Who's left?
Yeah.
All right.
So, Tuchel, Simeone, Eddie Howe, Rafa Benitez, and Brendan Rodgers, your boy, in that order.
Well, you know what you love about Brendan Rodgers? Wow. You know what? His football philosophy is quite similar to Arsene Wenger, and he's just won a championship.
Can't wait for the next season. Can't wait for the first season of being Arsenal. First season of being Arsenal.
Being Liverpool. I've got an envelope here.
Him and Andy Carroll.
There's a name in it. Whose name is it? Someone's going to let us down this season.
But
it's like, we all know it's Mesut Ozil. Clearly.
I would just love to see the opening intro. Like, which diamond... encrusted sports car is going to wheel into the car park. Like, which player is that? There's diamonds on that Panamera Porsche. It's Brendan Rodgers. Oh, okay.
I like Brendan, and I'm really happy that he's done well at Celtic. He's a good guy, I think.
He's probably your favorite Brendan, actually.
Well, there's no doubt. I'm trying to think.
Brendan Lynch, the editor?
Oh, you know, he might be my
Mr.
second
Cortez?
Favorite Brendan.
Brendan Lynch or Brendan Rodgers?
Rodgers. I love Lynch. I love her.
There you go.
B-Dog, he's great. All right, we should probably get out of here because it's late. I mean, we started late because you were late, Dunlop.
It's only 4 hours till first pitch for the Jays. I got to go get myself mentally psyched here. Eh?
Oh, Asuna on the DL to start the...
it's not ideal.
Not ideal. So who's closing, Grilly?
Probably. Fire up the Grilly.
Oh, boy.
Even if you
40 years old.
Actually enjoy baseball or this podcast, your chances are you're going to love following Thomas Dabi during the baseball season, particularly in April, the first 3 weeks of April and October. You are as entertaining as anyone on social media.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I don't try too hard. You're just
being used.
Throwing
most of the time,
my
we're concerned
thoughts.
For your safety.
Yeah,
but you are.
I am a little bit too fired up about the Jays, especially early in the season. Sometimes when you know there's 162 games, but I treat everyone like it's Game 7 of the World Series. So,
in fairness, social media is probably less entertaining now than it's ever been. Oh,
yeah, I actually don't go on Twitter much at all. I go on it, but I don't tweet much. Before, yeah.
I know.
I used to think I used to, for some reason, think that I had to get my thought. Who cares?
I'm really close to muting a lot of people as well. People I know as well. I'm just sick and tired of them just like all over it and just bored with it.
All over themselves, you mean?
Yeah.
Never want to be.
We'll discuss whom later.
All over yourselves.
Yeah. You don't want to be all over yourselves. You just don't.
You just don't. It's just not good.
Thanks for being all over us and listening to this podcast.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Hey, we're back. Weeks. We'll see you. I almost said we'll see you next week.
Yeah, it was probably actually a pretty good pod.
It was a good pod. Yeah. See, if we absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? Yes. So if we do wait long, we got more to talk about.
Yeah,
but maybe next week.
Definitely,
it is a stretch.
I'm in.
World Cup preview podcast. That'll be our next.
There we go.
One.
Yeah. I'm in for next week.
Oh yeah,
let's lock it in.
Look can change between now and then, though.
Yeah, you guys might have a broken leg after KJ's.
You're not playing in that,
so.
Are you?
Well, I am, but I'm going to be late. I'm going to be late. I have my own indoor game in the afternoon. Okay.
How many games are you missing?
Well. I don't know. It depends on the schedule.
I haven't had the schedule yet, but he's put me, the manager, in a very difficult position. However, I think I've figured out the perfect swap. I've got aforementioned Brendan Lynch, Mr. Court Cuts, the editor. He's going to play the first half. Then he has to come to work for 4. You show up at 4. Brilliant. Split the fee. Let's go.
I just realized that this conversation was supposed to happen after the podcast.
Yes.
Right. As David Moyes found out, the mics are always on.
All right, punters. I'm going to
give
you a slap.
All right, boys. Thank you very much. Lance, behind the glass, as always, you raise the bar and you bring the glass. To everyone else listening, why?